we can get away from the presence of God. No matter where you go, the presence of God is there. When you sin against God, you're sinning in the presence of God. You may think you're in the darkness, but the presence of God is greater than the darkness. God sees everything.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As a young man, Raul chose a path of self-indulgent rebellion that nearly cost him everything. But when he repented, God gave him a fresh start. For Raul's testimony of the incredible difference it makes to go all in with the Lord, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Thanks for joining us today for a challenge to do some soul searching in your walk with God. As Raul explores the disastrous consequences of one man's spiritual compromise, you'll see how a complacent view of sin will leave you vulnerable to temptation and dangerously disconnected from the Lord. Stay with us for instruction on how to honestly assess your spiritual state and respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction if He's speaking to you. Here's Raul Reese now with the lesson, Sin Affects the Camp.
It's a time where Moses had died and the baton was passed on to Joshua, and Joshua had become the man now that God was using to lead the people into the promised land. And what's interesting, this was a real time of prosperity, a time where God was blessing the people and the people were victorious in what they were doing. And as a matter of fact, he had just defeated one of the greatest cities in the whole world, the city of Jericho. And as God gave him the victory in Jericho, and they took the whole city by blowing the trumpets and walking around the city seven times, they didn't even have to shoot one of their arrows or use one of their spears or swords. God brought the walls down and defeated the enemy. And it was a time of great success. And this is the time where the people of God let their guard down and sin entered the camp. Look what it says beginning with chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan the son of Carmi. How'd you like to have a name by name? Carmi. And the son of Zabdi and the son of Sarah, and the tribe of Judah, and they took of the accursed things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. When everything was going so good, one of the guys in the army, man, took of the accursed things. The moment that happened, it's interesting that it says in the Bible that the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. It wasn't the whole camp. It was one person. And one person's sin affected the whole camp. God became angry. He was disturbed about what had happened. And the reason is because God already was giving them the victory. I mean, they had their trust in God. And all of a sudden, this young man by the name of Achan got self-confident and sin against God and didn't tell anybody. And when he saw the best stuff in the tents, God already had told the people, when you go into the city, don't take anything for yourselves. Everything that is the best goes to God. That's always the case. When I think of Achan's sin, I think of how many young people are wasting their talents and their gifts, men, and they're taking and abusing what God has given to them by getting into drugs, getting into alcohol, getting into sex, getting into every mischief you could ever imagine, and how Satan is robbing you of your fellowship with God. You ever think about that? That whatever you do against God, you can't get away with it. Remember when Dr. Van Cleve was here? He says that the presence of God is in front of us It's behind us. It's on top of us. It's on the bottom of our feet. I mean, wherever we go, the presence of God is with us. And most important, the presence of God is in us. We can't get away from the presence of God. No matter where you go, the presence of God is there. When you sin against God, you're sinning in the presence of God. You may think you're in the darkness, but the presence of God is greater than the darkness. God sees everything. He's not going to let you go. He will pursue after you until you break, until you submit, until you come to Him. But at the same time, He's going to allow you to make a choice. You have a will. And God is not going to go beyond that will and bend you and try to force you to accept Him to do what is right. No, that has to be your choice. That's called obedience. And whenever you abuse your hands or your mind or your eyes or your ears or your feet, you're taking advantage of what God has given to you. You're abusing it. Be careful how you use the things of God in your life. Here's an opportunity where God is moving, God is using the people of God, and there's one man that thinks that he can't get away with what he's doing. As he goes into the camp and he looks around and nobody's looking around, and he takes of the best stuff and then he takes it home and he hides it under his tent. Watch what happens. Verse 2. In verses 2 to 5, now we have the defeat because of sin. He says, and now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon. And the word Beth Avon here in Hebrew means the house of sin. The house of sin. And the word Bethel means the house of God. Notice the two houses, house of God or the house of sin. And then he spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. And so the men went up and they spot out Ai. And the word Ai again here means in Hebrew ruin. And Ai becomes a type of the world. There's a lot of people that look at the world and the world looks so good. Look at Lot, his wife. When they were living in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's interesting that Lot always had, and Lot is a type of the carnal Christian, he always had this thing in his eyes where he was always wishing and looking to all of the things of carnality. Remember when Abraham came to him and said, hey, you go ahead and choose whatever part of the land you want, you can have the best, whatever you want. He looked up and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and he says, I want that part of the land. Then he moved his tent next to Sodom and Gomorrah, not in Sodom and Gomorrah, but far away enough from Sodom and Gomorrah where he could make his trips to Sodom and Gomorrah and still come out of Sodom and Gomorrah and live in the country. The third step is in chapter 19 of Genesis when Abraham is coming and is interceding with the angel of Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and the two angels, and they're coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. By the time the two angels come to Sodom and Gomorrah, we don't find Lot in the country. We find him now sitting at the gates of the city, and he has become a judge in the city. Now he's sitting, living in Sodom and Gomorrah, man, and partaking there in Sodom and Gomorrah with his family. And then you find out that the fourth step, as the angels came and warned him, he was so carnal that when the angels were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he told the angels, look, I'll tell you what I'll do, because the men of the city, remember the homosexuals, begin to knock on the door and they wanted to talk to Lot, because he says, we saw some nice looking men come into your house. They were angels. He says, we want them. We want to know them sexually. Bring them out so that we can rape them. And they became aggressive. And the angels actually took Lot by the neck and pulled him inside of the house when they became aggressive and blinded the men. But the Bible says they were so aggressive, like today, they were trying to find a way in the wall to get into the house. It shows you the deepness of sin. No shame. And then Lot, of course, was rescued. But remember right before that God rescued Lot as they were on their way out, remember he was procrastinating? The angels literally had to grab him and pull him out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and take him up to Soar. But remember what happened to his wife? His wife turned around to look towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Boom, right there. Now, what most people don't understand in the Hebrew is not that she looked back to see what was going on. She had such an attraction for Sodom and Gomorrah, for the world, that the world attracted her so much that she was pulled by the world. And what happened is, as she started going back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned into a pillar of salt, and then only Lot and his two daughters were spared by God. And then what was his fourth step of backsliding? Remember what happened? The daughters thought that there was the end of the world. There were no more people. That's how out of tune they were with God. And then what happened? They got their father drunk and they went in. And that's the first instance in the Bible of incest, where a father lays with his daughters. Think of what's happened to many people today in the church. How far we've scooped down to sin, when we don't have to do that. We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to keep up with the world. We have to be what God wants us to be. And I thought about this guy that's standing here and he's sinned against God. And now God is saying, go, and I want you to spy out the land. Here God again is sharing with them what he wants them to do. But watch this. Verse 3. And then they returned to Joshua and they said to him, hey, don't let all the people go up with us, but let just about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not worry at all the people there, for the people are very few in number. And man, we can take them all. Here's a second part to this story here. They did not know that this guy by the name of Achan had taken from the spoils. So what happened is now they start becoming self-confident. Hey, we don't need to pray. We don't need to check in with God. We can just go out. Hey, God's given us the victories over and over. We can take any victory we want. How many times within our own lives, as we've had a spiritual high, we get into a place where, man, we are really cooking with the Lord, and we feel, I think I'll take off today, and I'm not going to read today, I'm not going to pray. And pretty soon, when we begin to trust in our own selves, but also we're trusting in past mercies, in past spiritual strength. What you have just done is open the door for the enemy to defeat you. You have to be so careful. Because when they began to share with Joshua, hey, we don't need to take the whole army with us, just give us 3,000 men. Guess what happened? They went down to the city. They went down, and guess what happened? 25 of those 3,000 were killed and got defeated, and they ran back. They didn't win the battle. They lost. Now, they still don't get it. Watch this, verse 4. And so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men on Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men from they chased them, and from there before the gates as far as Sharamim, and struck them down in the descent, and therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Notice there was defeat. Why? Because of sin. Once the people of God had sinned against God, there was no more victory. They could not defeat their enemy. And they still could not get it. They didn't understand why they got defeated. Watch what happens, even the leader here. And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And then Joshua said, "Alas, Lord, why have you brought this people over Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt in the other side of the Jordan." The Amorites were the descendants of Lot. With the Moabites. But you see, here is Joshua. Here is the main leader, the pastor. And he's saying, God, why did you bring us here to this land, and yet you're allowing our enemies to defeat us? He's asking the question, God, why? And then watch this. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns his back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut us off our name from the earth. What will you do for your great name? Notice Joshua is telling God, God, this is only the beginning. When people begin to hear that we are being defeated, man, we are dust. We've had it. I mean, everybody's going to come and take advantage of us, and they're going to whip us. This is the end of us. Watch verse 10. And so the Lord said to Joshua, "Joshua, why don't you get up from your knees? It's not time to pray, it's time to move." Now watch this. "Why don't you get up? Why do you lie down on your face? The problem is not your enemies, the problem is sin in the camp." The problem was sin. You see, we don't have to worry about the Canaanites and the Moabites and the Jebusites and all the tithes of the land. Forget all of them. I have no problem with Satan or his demons or anybody outside that's trying to defeat me. The problem is when I'm living a life of sin. Why? Because I have no power. I have no discernment. I have no wisdom. I have no knowledge. And that's the time where the enemy, man, makes his defeat. When he comes and he says, "Hey, you guys, get ready, man. We can go in and we can defeat these people because, man, they're not even praying to their God." God help us, man, to ever break the chain of prayer. You start bringing in your little gods in here, your little sins in here. Pretty soon you got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. That's a lot of sin in the camp. And the reason that God doesn't bring his judgment, why? It's because where there's a lot of sin, God's grace is there. It's the grace of God that we are what we are. If you think of all the sin that's in the camp, even right now, we should have been consumed. But God has been graceful to us. But please, let us not take advantage of the grace of God. Let us learn from past experiences. God help me. God help you. That we would submit our will to God, because I want the blessings of God. The spiritual blessings God has for me, I want them for my home. I want them for my wife, for my children, for the church, for you as the sheep of God. We want to reach the people in this community. We want to reach the surrounding communities before us. We want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. But we cannot do it if we live lives of sin, if we live lives that are defeated. We have to be victorious, and that can only come through Jesus Christ. As we submit our whole being to Him. Watch this. "Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff." Did you notice that sin, when you live a life of sin, you become a pretty good deceiver? You lie, you cheat, and people believe you. Because, man, you got a straight face. "Oh, no, really, I'm not doing that." It's deception. They deceive the people. He says they've stolen and they have deceived. And then verse 12, "And therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies." You see, when you're living a life of sin, you'll never stand before your enemies. Your enemies will defeat you. You'll lose the battle. You'll come always back defeated. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no hope. There's nothing there, man, but emptiness. The only way that peace can come and the only way that I can get back in fellowship with God, there has to be confession and repentance. There has to be a getting rid of that sin. That's the only way. Otherwise, it won't even work. Watch what happens. He says, "But turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you." Did you hear what he said? God says, "I'm not going to be with you anymore until you take care of the problem of sin." God is serious about sin. Unless you get rid of what's going on in your life, you'll never hear from me again, Joshua. And so God's urgency is this: get up, sanctify, get up, set yourself apart. Notice the people. and say to the people, set yourselves apart tomorrow, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel, and you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. There is the key. God cannot help you until you deal with your sin. He cannot help you. That's where God's grace comes in, because he's not going to force you, but he gives you the right to your will to make a choice. And that thing that you've hidden, if you brought it into your home, you're bringing leaven into your home. You're bringing harassment from Satan into your home. A total cleanup of the home. A total cleanup of the heart. And the reason that here God is talking to Joshua and saying, hey, these are the things, unless the people become holy and they set themselves apart for me, then there's no possible way that I'm going to do anything again, because there's an accursed thing in the camp. Verse 14, and then in the morning, therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by the households. Notice that he lines them up by family, father, son, wife, and all the children. Everybody by family comes along. Why? Because God wants to get rid of this thing. Verse 15, here it is. The penalty for sinning. And then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing against Israel. You mean God's going to wipe me out? Not that. That's the Old Testament here. If you come to that place of repentance and confession, God will forgive you and he'll restore your life. That's what God promises. But here in this instance, because of the law God established, not only Achan confessed, but he also confessed, and because of his one sin, his wife and his children, every one of them, had to be taken outside of the camp, and they had to be stoned to death, and then they had to be cremated. That was God's law in the Old Testament to get rid of sin, and then God could move.
We pray today's message has been a challenge for you to make an honest evaluation of your life and consider making any changes that can bring you more fully into alignment with God's will. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled, Sin Affects the Camp. We'd also like to tell you about a faith-challenging new audio series from Raul simply titled, Rebellion. This 5-CD pack further explores the often slow but still highly destructive consequences of choosing to ignore or defy the Lord. You'll see that while God has incredible patience for his people, there does come a point where he will justly deal with open disobedience, just as he did in Achan's life. For further insight into the Lord's perfect balance of mercy and justice, contact us to purchase Raul's new Rebellion Study Pack. To place your order, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this new 5-CD collection for a gift of $20 or more. That number again is 800-634-9165. You can also order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to make God's truth easily accessible to you in a variety of free formats. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores relevant life issues from a biblical point of view. You can also download any Somebody Loves You Radio program as a podcast through Spotify or iTunes. And you'll find more Bible study resources when you download our free app to your iPhone or Android. To stay connected with us throughout your day, be sure and like us on Instagram and friend us on Facebook. We're committed to helping you find hope and purpose in the pages of God's Word. Let us know if there's any way that we can better serve you. And when you contact us, let us know how we can pray for you as well. This ministry is funded solely through the partnership of listeners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your generous donations help keep us on the air. Well, thanks for allowing us to be a part of your day today. We hope you'll join us again next time for more insight into who God is and what He desires for our lives. Here's Roel now with a closing comment.
God, help us tonight. These things are written here for our examples so that we can learn of the mistakes that people have made in the past so that we don't make the same mistakes, but that we are repentant. And as we come to repentance, man, that God can rejuvenate our lives with that joy and peace and love, and He can use my life for His glory. That's what He wants. That's all that He wants to do with your life and my life. I don't know what is the accursed thing that you've done in your life or that sin that has been hidden under your tent. But I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to you directly and that you'll take care of this problem tonight.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.